everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today, we are talking about Buddha Standard Time, and we have Lama Surya Das, who is the author of a new book called Buddha Standard Time, and he is also a Lama of the Tibetan Order, who spent 40 years studying with the great spiritual masters of Asia. Welcome, Lama Surya Das.
Hi, CJ. Hello again.
So I wanted to talk to you about, we were in the previous segment, we were talking about Buddha's standard time. And I just wonder for yourself, I mean, how hard is it for you to switch in between, you know, linear time and then this divine time?
Well, it's really, it's like two sides of one hand, so I don't think it's very hard to switch. What's hard is to have an appreciation, you know, that these things are right here. We always think we have to go somewhere else. And so on. And I don't really think that that's, you know, the way to look at it. Just like we think heaven is after we die if we're in the theistic Western religions. But Jesus himself talked about ushering the kingdom of heaven on earth. So Buddhists consider that this is the pure land and our body is the body of Buddha. That's from an ancient Japanese Zen song. And similarly, that's how we can tune into the timeless moment here and now by being more incandescently present and aware. By cultivating awareness, by practicing mindful living rather than mindlessly sleepwalking through life, having all kinds of so-called accidents, and so on. And I think we don't really realize how much responsibility we have for our experience and for what happens to us. And it's good for us to realize that, I believe. So taking hold of ourselves, our time, our life, our energy could be extraordinarily transformative and important. And then we start to get in touch with big time. Eternity, the timeless time, deathless nirvana, heaven time, the fourth time, as we call it in Tibetan, beyond past, present, and future, sequential, linear, ordinary time, small time, local time. Then we come to live in Buddha standard time, or as you've coined it so charmingly, CJ, Buddha central time, because it's very much at the center of every moment in each of us. You could also call it sacred time. It's the divine time that's here and now. And we can experience it. I'm sure we all have experienced a moment of this. There's some experience or other where we forgot ourselves. Perhaps we weren't even caught up in our thoughts, and we were just 100% present and accounted for, maybe even blissfully so.
Yeah, let me ask you just out of curiosity, because, you know, I do my own meditation. I get a sense of what it feels like to be at that point of divine. But for you, for someone who's cultivated this practice, you know, for much longer than most of us, what does it feel like to be in Buddha standard time?
It feels very free, very carefree, and very much of a relief from the burden we usually carry, worrying about the past and anticipating the future. So that we get free of certain things, and we get free to be and to do certain things. Free of things like anxiety and past conditioning. For example, let me throw out a provocative statement for you psychologists out there. Being holy here and now, nowness awareness, being holy in the now is the ultimate therapy. It frees us from the conditioning of past and future.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely.
It only frees us for that moment. Then the mind takes over. But then the next moment, we can again let go and be here and now. And by doing that, we find freedom. So it's a great relief from past fears and hang-ups and memories and stories, you know, like my victim story, my miserable childhood, who did what to me, and also future anxieties and even expectations. So we can live really fully now and smell the roses as we walk along.
Okay, let's take a hypothetical.
With our children while they grow up.
Let's take a hypothetical.
Not miss their childhood and so on.
Yeah. So let's take a hypothetical example of that exact scenario where, let's say that your boss comes in and says, you know what, you need to, we have to accelerate the date of your project. So instead of being due this Thursday, it's due on, you know, tomorrow at 4. And so you go into an instant panic. You go into your stories and, oh, I'm blaming my boss and I'm so mad. And, you know, you start kind of panicking. We're in fact, all the languaging of, oh, my gosh, I don't have enough time. What did I do? How am I going to get all this done in time? You know, time is of the essence. You know, this is when all this stuff comes along. I mean, and I'm sure you've, you know, since you're an author, you write books or at least you know other people who have kind of reached this panic. What do you suggest that they do when they're at that moment of creating stories? They've let their mind run amok.
Well, I think, dare I say, at the risk of seeming simplistic, breathe, relax, and smile. What should I say in Tibetan so it sounds better, or quote some philosopher? When the mind is running amok, what can we do? Should I suggest taking a medication? I think you can go to your psychiatrist for that. Breathe, relax, center focus, and smile. It's a great remedy. Take
but
a
how
breath
do you remember
break.
To do that? That's my thing. You know, I think at that moment, if I actually...
You listen right now, or you read it, or you can hear this kind of advice in many places, but it's up to you to take it. Yoga teachers say it, meditation teachers say it, prayer teachers say it, performance masters say it. You know, breathing is a very important thing to musicians, actors, speakers, athletes, not just the religionists among us. And being in touch with the here now and mindful. The U.S. Army is studying mindfulness for its benefits right now. This is not some kind of airy-fairy fringe thing anymore. It combines physical health and metaphysical health, mental health and physical health. It's very profound. Breathe, relax, center, focus, and smile. Of course, in my book, which has about 12 chapters, there's two or three of these exercises, timeouts, breath breaks of different kinds in each chapter. So there's 20 or 30 different little practices one can do besides just saying meditate.
Right. But then how do you remember? I mean, here's the thing is how do you at that moment? And I know that you said there's lots of different disciplines and ways, but how do you catch yourself from, is it just to be so, you have to first of all be present that maybe you're breathing quickly or you're talking quickly, or that's usually my indication.
Yeah. People
are like, I can't hear you, you're talking too quickly. Right. And I think, I'm stressed. I need to actually breathe, relax, smile. I get that. But
yes.
What are some structures that you can kind of identify when you're even at that point? Because that's the hardest thing is to even know when to stop.
Well, that's a great question, and that's what I'm all about, really, is the how. I'm very utilitarian, and I myself want to know how. That's why I like Buddhism and these practices, not just some new theory or cosmology or worldview, but things I can actually do, and the promise that if you do them, then you get the benefits just like the founders did, the masters, the sages, the saints throughout all the ages. So you have to remember to do them. So you have to make a habit. I hate to demystify this, but there's no one that can save you. That's the bad news. But the good news is there's no one that has to. You can save yourself. Buddha said, anybody can become enlightened by awakening in this way. And here are the 8-step path to do it. And millions have. So Jesus also, people don't really understand Jesus' message. The invitation of Christ, as it says in the Christian text by Thomas A. Kempis from hundreds of years ago. Living that way, not my life, my selfish life and preoccupations, but thine, O Lord. Putting oneself in service of all so that we can all awaken and live in joy and harmony and love together. So we have to remember. And you're asking how. That's the real vital question, CJ. So let me answer that very succinctly. We have to find ways to remind ourselves. That's why people build churches and houses of worship. That's why people wear keep prayer beads or crosses around their neck. Mm. We Tibetan Buddhists have little wrist malas, little rosaries around our wrists to remind us to chant our mantra or say our prayers whenever we have free time during the day, even while commuting, waiting online for the elevator, sitting on the potty, or whatever. Use that time to live the spiritual life. So, that's why taxi drivers in the city have a plastic Jesus on their dashboard. That's not my style, but theoretically, it's to remind the ordinary person who's not a philosopher and a mystic of what's important in life.
Yeah.
Not just the cash register on their, meter on their dashboard. So we have to see for ourselves, what is it that we can take supportive in our life? So I like to have a meditation room and an altar in my house or a corner in my bedroom for that. I have a picture. I have a statue. I have my beads. I have my meditation cushion. So Some people have a contemplative garden, you know. I have a library and a study with my spiritual books in one side, so it's a very peaceful corner with some plants and things like that, and the rest of it is where I write my books, and it's more work-oriented. It's very much up to oneself to find out how to do that. Some people go every week to some form of worship, whether it's church or mosque or synagogue or meditation class or yoga class. Some people do it every day. Some people go once a week to a group thing and do it every day themselves, a little prayer, a little meditation, a yoga, Tai Chi, or scripture
reading. And it's all good, right? I mean, here's the thing that's so interesting. It's all good, whether I think the thing that's so interesting is sometimes I'll talk to clients and I'll say, well, I can't meditate today. I can never find 20 or 40 minutes to meditate. And I said, well, why don't you just meditate 20 times for 2 minutes?
Exactly. Like, or 20 times for 5 seconds.
Exactly.
You know, use Surya's asana, mini meditations, micro meditations. This is the lazy man's guide to enlightenment.
I'm
good for lazy women, too. No problem. Breathe, relax, center, focus, and smile while you're standing in line at the grocery store instead of tripping out, counting the other people's items to see if they have more than 10 on the express line or whatever you do.
Gather
your energy. Take a breath.
Yeah. Well,
feel the breath in your navel chakra. How long does that take? Not 20 minutes. 5 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's the thing that you're saying before where, you know, when you're actually in pain, you want time to go quicker. Well, if you breathe and your mind is occupied someplace else, time does go more quickly. So I'm actually standing in line at the grocery store, and I'm like, what else to do? Might as well just meditate. Breathe in and out and in and out. And you know what? By the time you're there, you're like, one, you're really relaxed, and two, you haven't really noticed at all how long it took to actually get to the head of the line. So,
exactly. So there it is. That's how people experience this kind of practice. So you see, you've touched the timeless right there in time at the grocery store. You don't have to travel to Tibet or Jerusalem or Mount Shasta to do so.
Yes, exactly.
And I've been there. I'm telling you. You find the same can of worms when you go to those places because it travels with you in your own knapsack. That's the problem.
That's
if we don't do our own homework.
It's true. If your mind is crazy, it will be crazy no matter where it is, right?
We have to do our homework. This is working on ourselves and awakening together, including all, not just being selfish and narcissistic, but doing our homework. Disarming our heart is the way to disarm anger and violence, not just, you know, praying for world peace, which is fine. But fighting for peace and killing for peace is a contradiction in terms. So disarming our own hearts so that we can you know, practice turning the other cheek or maintaining equanimity in the face of unfairness and so on.
I love that idea of disarming your heart.
And acceptance is not the same as complacence or indifference. Acceptance could be very transformative, like accepting one's mate might transform your whole relationship after years of trying to change them, which probably didn't work very well.
I hear you.
Well, goes the wrong way.
Well, we actually have to wrap up our second segment. So much gratitude to Lama Surya Das, founder of the Dzogchen Center. Is that how I pronounce it?
Yes, Dzogchen. This is Dzogchen, the great perfection teachings.
And the author of Buddha Standard Time, and also his pivotal book, Awakening the Buddha Within. Stay with us to find out more about Buddha Central Time. And in the next segment, we will be figuring out how to groove to the beat of the universe. How's that? That's so groovy. If you missed any part of the show, look us up.
Groovy.
I love how I'm just
out of sight.
Groovy. That's so uncool. Okay.
Awesome.
So check us out later at iTunes or Fired Up with CJ. Make sure to go to the East West Bookstore on January 12th for reading and book signing for Buddha Central Time. East West Bookstore is in the city of Seattle, Washington. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.